Good morning again, church.
Good morning.
God is good.
All the time.
Ryan, thank you for your prayers and for sharing your heart this morning as we continue on to be with our brothers and sisters at UNC Charlotte. One thing that came out in my mind is God always has a way of bringing good things out from horrible things. Amen? And I was just reading about the story of this one of the students, I believe, who served as a kind of a shield and became a hero, an inspiring story that God is still in control in the midst of terrible things that are happening in the world. We know and we believe that as Easter people of God, we know what the end of the story. Amen? So I welcome you here this morning in this third Sunday of Easter. Some of you are surprised to hear the word resurrection or Easter. Did you know that we are on Easter season? That the Easter is not a one Sunday event. It's actually a season. So we are now on the third Sunday of Easter as we continue on to affirm ourselves the gift that comes from God, that we are indeed the Easter people of God. So I just want you to stare on your neighbor this morning and just say to your neighbor, I'm so glad we are Easter people. Come on, let's go ahead and say that to your neighbor. I got a text message that we have a video and I believe an audio and video being connected right now in two of our nursery rooms. That means whoever's going to be inside the nursery rooms, they can already watch and listen to our worship today. Shall we give God the glory and praise for that? And also, we are continuing our service on Facebook Live. We are so blessed that we have this opportunity for us to reach out and share the gospel of Christ along the social media platform. So if you happen to connect with us up there, and we are so blessed that you are here with us and part of this church for all people called Davis Street, we hope and we pray that you will experience the power of God's presence as we hear the word of the Lord today. Would you join with me as we pray? Risen Savior, thank you for the gift of your resurrection. As we come this morning, O God, to hear your word, remove all the distractions in our thoughts and in our minds and in our hearts, so that we can focus on what you have to say to us. And may we be receptive to the message of the good news of your salvation. It is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. I was told this morning to make sure that I pronounce the name Zacchaeus in the right way. So am I doing the right way now, church? Zacchaeus. Say that with me. Zacchaeus. I'm still having my teaching mode, having been here in 19 years. I still have a long way to go in terms of doing it the right way in terms of pronunciation. So you just have to bear with me, church. Most of us who grew up in the church knew about this story of Zacchaeus, who was a short guy who hung out on the tree. Beside his small stature, the thing that defined Zacchaeus was his career as the chief IRS collector in Jericho. Chief IRS collector. How many of you have heard IRS before? Have you all paid your taxes, church? A tax collector was not really a good term during Jesus' time. I got to be honest with you. It has its very bad connotation. They were defined as greedy, combination of being embezzler and extortionist. That's pretty much a heavy loaded term, right? For an IRS collector in Jesus' time. So Zacchaeus was a traitor to his people and a sinner of the worst sort. This is why they are lumped together. When we talk about tax collectors in Jesus' time, they were lumped together with prostitutes and other sinners. Jesus himself uses tax collectors in parables designed to shock his hearers. And this was in Luke chapter 5, verse 27. And the most notorious tax collector in the Bible was Zacchaeus, that tiny weasel of a man who was loathed by his neighbors. And you will notice how the people respond to Jesus going in to eat with Zacchaeus. Look at verse 7. Look at what verse 7 says. When Jesus goes to have a meal with Zacchaeus, they were all what? They all grumbled. They despised people who took more than they should have in order to enrich themselves. How many of you have met those people? I'm sure you hate them, right? I'm sure you don't like those people. You don't hang around with those people. So their perception of Zacchaeus is not of being an honest and righteous man. And you got to understand that this is not just the people's perception. Zacchaeus himself acknowledged that they were right in that perception. And you can get that glimpse on verse 8 of that text, that he acknowledged himself that he was a sinner, that he defrauded the people, that he had taken things that should have not been taken away. So here was Zacchaeus in this story of Luke chapter 19 that Sarah helped us read. And I want to invite you as we go along in this sermon series called Restored, that we may be able to learn about how God restored and transformed the life of Zacchaeus. Here we are seeing in this gospel, in this story, in this narrative, that Jesus is displaying for us a poster child for the impossibility of rich men entering into the kingdom of God in the person of Zacchaeus. This is a man who was a sinner, who, humanly speaking, has no hope at all for any salvation. You see, he was lost. Zacchaeus was lost and needed to be found. He was a sinner and needed to be forgiven. And Luke is making that very clear in the text. Nobody is expecting what happens to Zacchaeus in this story to happen. In fact, he was the least likely candidate for it in the world. But here's the deal. We may not have Zacchaeus' sins in our lives today, but here's the fact. We are all like him. Can we hear amen, church? We are all like Zacchaeus. Apart from Christ, apart from grace, apart from the gospel, we are all sinners and in need of deliverance and forgiveness. Amen? We are all lost and needed to be found. Do you understand that in this room today, there are sinners who have been forgiven and who are lost and needed to be found? Can you claim yourself to be one among them? And there are no non-sinner in this holy ground today. We are all here today, sinners, either lost or found once. And there's nobody outside of those categories. And though our sin may not be a kind of sin that Zacchaeus done, we may not be as an extortionist as he was, or an embezzler as he was, or unscrupulous, or have those shady dealings. But I tell you this, we all got our sins and we are lost and we are all in need of restoration and forgiveness. And Jesus is just laying this out before us in this story. Luke is showing us a picture of somebody who is lost and who needs to be found. And then, my friends, what he does here, he says, and this is what Jesus is probably telling us here in this text. Now watch this. I want you to watch what I'm going to about to do. Are you there, church, with me? Now I want you to watch what I'm about to do to this man who seems to be loathed by his neighbors, who seems to be have no way of being experiencing restoration and transformation. Are you still there, church? Here's what happened. What did he say in the following text? Jesus invited Zacchaeus to what? Come down. Come down. I want to come and eat in your place. He wants to be invited himself. Can you imagine Jesus inviting himself to come? What does that mean? That means so big today, church, that you do not seek for Jesus. He comes seeking for you. Well, let me be very straightforward here. I'm not saying that there aren't people who don't go through the process of coming to faith in Christ, where they wrestle long and hard. And I know a lot of them personally, and perhaps you do. But I think what we are missing in this story is we always think that the initiative comes from Zacchaeus. And it's not. The initiative begins with God in the person of Jesus Christ. And he comes inviting him, come. Come down from the tree. I want to come to your place. I want to eat and dine with you. Well, we all know Zacchaeus already wants to see Jesus, and for that reason, we don't know. He clearly perhaps knew about him, had learned a lot of stories about him, and respected him. Perhaps he was not satisfied by all the wealth that he had, and perhaps he thought that in this encounter with this Palestinian rabbi, he might find a deeper significance in life. We're not told about that in general or specific way. We just know that he really, really wants to see him. And he goes out of his way to see who Jesus was, as was told in verse 3. But when he went up there, up in the sycamore tree, it was Jesus who took the initiative of saying, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down. I must stay with you today. This little man who was wanting to see who Jesus was, but Jesus was the one who sought him. And when he finds him, he calls him by what? He calls him by his name. And that's how it always is and always will be. Can we hear amen to that, church? We're not looking for Jesus, church. He is looking and chasing for us. He is reaching out to you and searching for you and seeking for you. The seeker in this story is not Zacchaeus. It was Jesus. Can we hear amen, church? There's a hymn, a 19th century hymn that was written entitled, I Sought the Lord and Afterward I Knew. How many of you have remember that hymn? I sought the Lord and afterward I knew. The first stanza of that hymn could be a perfect depiction of the encounter between Zacchaeus and Jesus. And do you remember how the first stanza goes? Here's what it looked like. I sought the Lord and Jesus I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew. He moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. It was not I who found, O Savior true. No, I was found of thee. I did not find you, Jesus. You found me. I did not seek you, Jesus. You sought me. That's exactly, church, what happens in this story. And what does Jesus says at the end of this story? I have come to seek the saved and the lost. So the seeker in this story was not Zacchaeus. It was Jesus. He's the one who is seeking Zacchaeus all the while. He's the one who's been searching him. He's the one who's been prodding him. He's the one that's been journeying alongside with him. He's the one who reminds him something that you cannot do on your own, because he is already coming and searching for him. I wonder, in our own life today, how do we experience a seeking Jesus? I wonder how many times Jesus had tried to sought you or to reach out to you, and you just keep on doing things that you want to do in life. I wonder how we ignored him, not seeing him in the ordinariness of life. I know in my life, there are many times that I try to do my own thing, and I'm seems to be oblivious in pursuing my life based from what I want instead of what God needs for my life. Can we hear amen, church? I wish we have a witness here today. The seeker in this story is not Zacchaeus, but rather Jesus. And here's the most important thing. When Jesus finds you, what will happen? He will restore your life. Can we hear amen, church? You will no longer be the same again. In this story, it is very clear that when Jesus finds us, there will be a change. Notice how that emphasized in this passage. Are you still there, church? When Jesus gets down, or when Jesus gets to the tree, he says, not only Zacchaeus, hurry down, but he says, I must come home with you for lunch today. And I said this before, it was not an etiquette in ancient Near East to do that. It's not even proper to do it today. Even kings didn't tell you, oh, get the soup ready and I'm coming home with you today. You waited for someone to invite you home. But Jesus said here, I'm going to be eating with you today in your house. And what was Zacchaeus' response here? It's found on verse 6. At the end of the verse, we're told, here's his response. He received him joyfully. Say that with me, church. He received him joyfully. You know, he got this awkward, socially incorrect self-invitation, and response was, this is tremendous. He received him into his home with joy, with praise. And then we're told something of what happened at the meal. At some point, Zacchaeus is up and he's got to tell Jesus something. I'm excited to tell this to you, Jesus. Okay, Jesus, I've just got to tell you something. Are you there, church? I've given away half of my money to the poor, and everybody that I've ripped off in my life, and I'm paying back what? Four times of what I stole from them. What happened here, church? What is the gospel is Luke trying to tell us? What the gospel is trying to tell us is what I care about in this life has just been changed.
Here we are, Jesus had walked into the life of Zacchaeus and he said, watch this, I can restore everything in your life. The satisfaction that you have been seeking in all of those wrong places, wrong priorities, wrong times, wrong motivation, I give you total satisfaction you'll never ever conceive existed. So much so that you will lose the grip that was killing you on your old idols, and rather your old idols will lose their grip on you as you have laid hold of me. Amen? We see this in this passage that changed the heart of Zacchaeus. And his life has never been the same again. This is a man that has no hope for salvation. This is a man who is the least likely candidate to be restored. But the passage has said, salvation has come to this place and to this home. Church, we all can see Zacchaeus in our lives today. Amen? You and I have been to the Zacchaeus moments. But over and over again, this Gospel of Luke reminds us that God is indeed the God of restoration. Our sin creates mess that we all live in. And we can still be high functioning, but the mess sin creates and remains there, holding us in bondage. Nevertheless, God seeks us out just like what he did to Zacchaeus, calling us, prodding us, preparing us, reaching out to us until we come to know this unconditional love and mercy of God who cannot deal with our sin. Jesus is seeking and reaching out to you. All he wants us is to respond the way Zacchaeus responded. To invite him to come and be received. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know what's going on in your life today, but we are all in need of restoration. Perhaps you are in the Zacchaeus moment today. And then all you have to do is to open up your heart and to welcome him and embrace him to be the God of restoration. Perhaps today is the time. As we come in this closing of this message, there's a beautiful hymn that I always love to sing during Easter season called Because He Lives. And when we sing that song, let this be an invitational hymn for us. We invite anyone to come just to altar. We want to release to God our own Zacchaeus moment. That there are times when we feel that we are already hopeless in the sight of God. That God will never give us a second chance. Now here, inspired by the story of Luke chapter 19, God promises that there is always a new beginning. Amen?